For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a different sort of show this week as we sleep off the turkey and tinsel and those back-to-back Christmas derbies. Having been such a busy season already, we've not really had the chance to hear direct from those who run the leagues. So in this pre-recorded episode, you'll get the chance to hear from Michael Tattersall, the Chief Executive of the National League, Nick Robinson, Chairman of the Isthmian League, Mark Harris, Chairman of the Northern Premier League, and Terry Barrett, Chairman of the Southern League. We asked them to reflect on the year past and what was most memorable in 2017 for their league, and what they were most looking forward to in 2018. That's 2018, a year that will see another shake-up of the non-league game with two new divisions, one at Step 3 and another at Step 4, as well as a one-off playoff system that will help reorganise the clubs at both steps at the end of the season. Much change ahead. First up, I had a chat with Michael Tattersall, CEO of the National League at the top of the non-league pyramid. I asked him how 2017 was for the National League.
2017 for the National League was a year that put some of our clubs on the map. Lincoln City came back to the attention of the football world, and I think the year really belonged to them. They obviously had an FA Cup run, which culminated in a trip to the Emirates Stadium, where up until something like the 44th minute, they were drawing with Arsenal in the quarter-final of the FA Cup. Previous to that, they'd knocked out Burnley at Turf Moor. It was a privilege to be there that day. A fantastic goal at the end by Raggett. And, you know, left no time really for Burnley to respond. It was a really, really famous win for Lincoln and for non-league football. And then following that, obviously Lincoln went on to win our championship. It was a duel with Tranmere Rovers, but Lincoln were victorious. Fantastic result for the club and the town, and the Cowley brothers were really the success of the season. So I think that was really the highlight of 2017, and it will go down in memory for a long time.
It really, really was sort of, it went over and above coverage last season with the Lincoln and the Sutton runs. Do you think your level of football now is on a better standing in the UK football fans' psyche, maybe?
Yeah, I think the reputation has grown with the success of the teams, when obviously the likes of Lincoln and Sutton and others that were successful last year in the FA Cup can beat professional opposition or Football League and Premier League opposition. It makes the rest of the football world sit up and notice. Obviously, the people who have been supported non-league football for a long time already know the qualities of the non-league game, but it came to the country's wider attention last season. And I think really it stands non-league football in a better light. Also, the sight of people enjoy themselves as supporters. And having a sort of a different approach to football, coincided with things like non-league day, has opened up non-league football to a bigger audience and more attention generally.
And one of those things coming, looking ahead to 2018, one of those is Big Day Out 4 for the final playoff game, and that's another great way of bringing the non-league community together, isn't it? It's not just the fans of the clubs that are there at the final, but everybody coming together.
Yeah, well, we wanted to give neutral fans the opportunity to attend the game with a very discounted tickets, and with our title sponsors Vanarama, that's been it's been part of what we wanted to promote, having a bigger attendance on the day. And inviting people from other clubs who may want to watch our final to come along with their family and enjoy the day, along with the partisan supporters of both clubs who are itching to get into the Football League.
Before all that happens, though, new playoff system. To me, it makes more sense. It looks like less admin, looks like a fairer system for the clubs that have finished higher. Is that the reason it was brought in?
Yeah, there's a few things really. One is to make sure there's a bigger reward for clubs that finish higher up the table. So second and third, for those who are au fait with the new playoff system, get a bye, for want of a better word, through to the semi-finals at home. It also means that there's a contest all the way through to the end of the season, because no club can take the foot off the pedal in terms of they've already qualified for the playoffs, and therefore they sort of tread water the last couple of games. That's hopefully gone now. It's arguably a more exciting system when you have knockout games instead of two legs. And of course, we've got six clubs instead of four involved. So there's more to play for in the league. Instead of having clubs marooned at the top of the table, there's more opportunity to get involved from mid-table. Hopefully, we'll have a conclusion to the season where there's really everything to play for all the way through to the final game of the season.
And I mean, that's your big shake-up for this season that we're already into. And looking down below you, there's the restructuring going on with new divisions coming in. How do you view that from a National League perspective?
I think from a National League perspective, it's always good to have a good system underneath where you are, because we're all part of a pyramid, and it's very important that there's harmony between the National League or any league in that system. For promotion and relegation to work properly. And obviously the leagues below us and the FA have decided that they want to organise themselves with an additional division running horizontally. That's great. We would be looking for, you know, promotion and relegation in the system to work as effectively as done in the past. And, you know, we're having more regionalised football. Whether or not that ends up being a better system, time will tell, but certainly we support the levels below us in introducing that as a new system from next season.
And do you sort of study those sort of things that happen and think about other changes that you could make, or maybe considering changes that the FA may want to impose upon you? And does it form your strategy at the top as to the way you're going to go forward as well?
Yeah, well, we do debate. You know, we're all a party to discussions when they're had at the FA. The FA is a system whereby we all meet together under the banner of the National League system to debate what's good and bad for that system. And any changes that you make are always subject to agreement, discussion, and they're normally quite a long time in the making. You know, you don't really just propose something and have it done in a... done it straight away. It's all part of discussing it with all those other stakeholders that are affected, and making sure that any changes are done for the right reasons and they benefit every level in the pyramid. You know, we subscribe to that the same as the other leagues, and the FA wants to achieve that through its objectives as well. So, you know, it's normally done harmoniously and with consensus.
So looking ahead with your own sort of crystal ball, what do you see ahead for the National League in the coming 12 months? Are you looking to try and increase crowds, you know, maybe raise the profile?
Well, we're always looking to increase crowds, and certainly that'll be a big feature of the club's individual strategies to attract more people to watching their games. And looking forward, really, I suppose we're looking for a good climax to our season. You've already mentioned the playoffs, but if you look at the table, it's a very, very even division. There's not much difference between the different ends of the table. With the lead this year for the National League, someone will know better than I will, but it's changed 14, 15 times already this season. It's very, very competitive. So we're looking for a good end to the season with lots of clubs involved until the end. And that's, you know, that's one of the objectives of the league, really, to have a very, very competitive league. And obviously the National Division, the prize is promotion to the Football League. And North and South Divisions, the prize is making progress into the National Division. And you really look at all three of our leagues and they're very, very competitive, and we're happy with that. We want to have an open and contested league each year.
Michael Tattersall, CEO of the National League there. Now, we may have missed her dulcet tones week in, week out, but I've not really been keeping Caroline Barker in a box under the studio desk. As many will have seen, she's been off reporting elsewhere all around the globe and on many different sports, but her true love really is non-league football, and when I can tie that in with a bit of food, I can usually get her to just about anything. So just ahead of the Christmas break, she caught up with Mark Harris, chairman of the Northern Premier League, the only league chairman at Step 3 and 4 who won't be adopting a new division into their system at the end of the season.
So then, how would we assess this year? Let's go calendar year that's been.
Well, like every year, the challenges are the same, but sometimes they also evolve too. So this year, looking at what's happening within our clubs, it's getting harder and harder to attract supporters, it's harder and harder to attract volunteers, and most crucially, harder and harder to attract sponsors. So that's the ongoing challenge. I think in terms of the upcoming reorganisation of non-league football, a lot of work's gone into that. It's never a perfect solution. It's about finding the least imperfect solution to meet all your objectives. But hey, it's an opportunity, it's a challenge, bring it on.
Such a brilliant politician. Within that, what's kind of the one thing that you've thought, we didn't get that right this year, that we need to change?
I think there's many things that you look at that. One of the things that I think we need to be very mindful of is how we engage with supporters. We need to be very mindful about how we help our clubs to engage with fans. It's very easy sometimes to lose sight of the fact, because as a league, your members are the clubs. But without the fans, you have no club. So I think one thing that we are having to learn, a lot of this has been driven by social media, is that you have a duty to actually inform. You'll never ever please all of the people, and you'll never ever please any of the people any of the time, sometimes. But that's one of the key things that we need to get much better at.
I guess it's something that the National League have tried to do with getting Pitch Hero on board and videos, getting clubs to do those. That was very much kind of the crux of what you wanted to achieve when I spoke to you 12 months ago, actually, was to get that better communication, to get the videos out there. But I wonder whether the payback great enough? It's kind of balancing that actually fans, volunteers that are trying to make stuff happen for clubs aren't paid, the work pressure that could put on against actually what it spits out the other end in, here's our shop window, look at us.
I think there's a number of factors that play in that. I think the first factor you've got there is that the reality is that not all clubs are perhaps as switched on to the digital opportunities that are out there. And the fact that the world is changing at a very rapid pace. I always believe that football reflects society, but football can't always solve society's problems. So on the video, we still believe that video is absolutely the right way to go forward. The challenge for us is to find a way to do that, though, that rewards the clubs for the effort in going and finding the volunteer. It's the biggest single problem all of our clubs face, is never having enough people and never having enough younger people to do the jobs. So that's why one of the objectives for the forthcoming 12 months is to develop what will hopefully eventually be a national volunteering initiative. So the Northwest Counties have done some fabulous work in creating a post for a volunteer coordinator. That's really good practice, we believe. Now, if we can then come into that at phase two and then work with others to take that nationally, that I think is where we need to concentrate a great deal of effort. But alongside that, to address the sponsorship issues and the bringing in monies to our clubs, that's where we have to be a lot more focused and cooperative. It's about video. The National League obviously have the benefit of their relationship with BT Sport. I would dearly love to see that extended, certainly to step three. Time will tell whether that happens. But as a wise man once said, if you're not achieving what you want to achieve, it isn't the goals that are wrong, you've just not quite got it right of the way to get there. So we have a number of different avenues to get the video thing moving. But the National Volunteering Initiative, for me, that's where a lot of the focus needs to be.
Well, you know why videos work is when betting happens throughout the league. I know it happens already, but when you're betting on everything from bookings to what have you, and that's the uneasy bedfellow, isn't it? That aside, just for a moment then, it's always that cusp of the year question, which is, come the end of next season, do you think you'll have all your clubs still playing? Do you think those volunteers that you talk about will have to have picked another club up financially? How's the league set?
I think the sad thing is, we have a thing called the Financial Reporting Initiative, which enables us to monitor, and clubs are required to report back on where they stand in terms of creditors, debtors, the Crown and all those things. Because what you want to do is, if a club gets into a problem, you want to find out about it as soon as possible. You also want to try and have as much of a level playing field. But there's still a stigma attached to that sort of thing. So the biggest challenge is getting clubs that might have a problem or about to have a problem to be open and seek help with that. I would never be so naive as to say we don't have a club with a financial problem. There is none that immediately comes to mind. But one thing is absolutely for certain. It's in the nature of football. Somewhere along the line, some club or clubs will get into financial difficulties. All that we can do, we can't run their businesses for them. We can preach all the best practice. We can put all the regulatory things in place. And the FRI, I do believe, has been a massive force for good. But at the end of the day, that we can't control everything. I think the reorganisation it's an opportunity, but it is also a challenge. What none of us know, with those clubs coming up from step five, the suspension of the E grade to come up, and there is no immediate requirement, they've got 12 months to get a licence. What none of us know right now is, of those clubs who are coming up, how many aren't able to achieve the D grade by the 31st of March?
Do you agree with the ground grading changes?
I think there's a bit of pragmatism. I think it's a little bit of give and take. If we accept that the ultimate objective of the reorganisation is to reduce travel, and that is the primary driver, and the impact not just on players, but on supporters' pockets, that's a starting point. There have to be compromises along the way. I believe it is the right thing on a one-off or a basis to suspend the licensing and ground grading requirement if we're to get the promotion. I believe that when you come into football, it is all about promotion. And whilst there are some clubs out there that are quite happy to exist as they are, if you don't want promotion, that's fine, and it's a very easy way to go about doing it. It's called cutting the wage bill. But if you start from that position, I think that there is no perfect solution. What we don't know, say, is how many clubs are going to come up, either can't or don't want to have the life at the higher level and decide to go back. So there is now a process in place. So a contingency plan. I personally think that in a year's time, we could actually be faced with a number of clubs that simply find they either refuse or do not want to stay at step four. But unless we take that step forward, we'll never get progress. For example, from step three to step two with the Super Playoffs. Now, it's not for me to say whether the National League should or should not relegate four from each of their two step two divisions. That, I think, the pressure to do that will come from the court of public opinion. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, well, I'm conscious of the time and you've got a luncheon to host. But I would, just on that point, the kind of this double jeopardy rule with the grounds and artificial pitches that could face Sutton, could have Dover, clubs maybe that may not have a knock-on effect for you, but we face now clubs in the league above that could be bounced out as a result of having the artificial pitch. We see the good work that it does, particularly at clubs at your level, and it's kind of this, actually, where do we go? Because it's the Football League, ultimately, that are stopping the progression.
It would be very easy to simply pass the buck to the EFL and say, well, look, if you just accepted it, the whole problem goes away. And you can't actually get away from that. I don't think that, though, is the only debate. I think people look at 3G or 4G pitches generically, whereas actually it's a little bit more complicated than that. It's what sort of artificial surface do you want? Is it one that's going to have a lot of community use? Ultimately, like all things in life, the change is coming. There's no question about that. If I had the magic wand, then I would be saying to the EFL, give three up from the National League, because three up from the National League would undoubtedly then resolve the problems at step three going up to step two. But life isn't like that. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't stop fighting for it.
Mark Harris, chairman of the Northern Premier League. He's always the diplomat. Now, it is Christmas. So tempted by some more pigs in blankets and a mountain of sprouts, Caroline Barker also caught up with Nick Robinson, chairman of the Isthmian League, a man looking forward to adopting an additional division under his wing at step four for season 2018-19. 19.
Nick, congratulations on getting through another year. I mean that in the best possible way, not taste. For you, how's this last 12 months gone?
Yeah, it's been very good. Obviously, we've had a change of sponsor. That's been quite difficult to manage, but we were tasked with the aim of making sure that the previous sponsor's name was eradicated. Mm-hmm. We've done that with our clubs, and hopefully we have managed it with a lot of the media. So it's Bostic all the way.
It could be a coffee machine that's sponsoring the league from here on in. We can hear that in the background rattling away. Bostic all the way. Obviously, their affiliation with Evo Stickwell. No, was it important for you to try and kind of tag all the leagues together?
Yeah, this is what they wanted to do. So they wanted to get steps 3 and 4 all under their branding. But when they came to it, they looked at it and thought, well, Evo Stick, how do we differentiate between us all? So they called us Bostic, which we were very pleased with, actually, because we thought it was more difficult to actually adopt the Evo Stick name with the other two leagues. So we said, Bostic, yeah, we're very happy with that. We've got the merchandising out now. We've got the badges, the pens and all that sort of thing. So it's really working well.
As much as I don't want to give them a free plug, and we have just done for about a minute and a half there. However, for you going forward, for the Southern League going forward, the Northern Premier League going forward too, to have this affiliation, we've often spoken about this level of football perhaps being forgotten and the strength in numbers in pulling together. Do you feel like there's now a viable brand across that step?
Yeah, I think, you know, the numbers are going up to, was it 296 now? That's great. We've got 26 new clubs coming in to steps 3 and 4. And I said that can only be good because that means that our buying power is actually that much better. Mm-hmm. So 2 years ago when we bought the electronic subboards, the three leagues got together and we got a really good price for it. So, and I think that we can develop that. You know, Mark Harris is here today. We got Terry Barrett. And you know, we're all working together. We're trying to do the best for all our clubs. So our buying power, our negotiating power is very good.
How did that square between, you mentioned Terry and Mark from the other two leagues, do with this new league coming in? And of course, someone had to grapple hold of it. How has that been in you trying to get this new league off the ground? What's that been like administrative headache wise and also making sure it's all smoothed over with the other leagues who didn't get that league that they wanted?
Yeah, I think that from our own point of view, obviously we've got 10 new clubs for next season, or an additional 10 clubs, so we'll have 82 clubs. It's going to be more than 10 new clubs to the league. Mm. And we may lose some by lateral movement and receive others. We don't know how it's going to work out at the moment, and obviously it's been difficult with you know, one of us had to lose out because there were only two spaces. Mm. And we just hope that, you know, Mark's been fantastic. You know, he's obviously upset but has said, well, okay, we just got to get on and work together. Mm. Which we have done, and so, you know, I do take my hat off to him on that basis.
So that's all rosy in the garden. What about the way that it's then being received by the FA? Do you feel, and I've spoken to Mark about this, do you feel like there's a credible voice in non-league now that's not skipped over for grassroots football, getting funding from the Premier League, for example? Is this an area that, or a league structure and a pyramid that's respected by the rest of football?
I think, you know, Mark has often said, and I totally share the view, we are the forgotten part. We are that the meat in the sandwich, that the Premier League, all down step one. You know, everything is virtually the professional game. Below the grassroots, community football, call it what you will, everybody's going to flexible football, they're talking about walking football, women's football, everything's done. But when you say to people steps 2 to 5, 2 to 6, sorry, what's that? Can you explain what that is? So we are the forgotten part, but I understand that the FA main board is now looking at how to deal with the additional funds that are coming into football with the money coming from the FA Cup and that sort of thing. And I do really hope that they are going to really give this level of football some proper funding. Mm. Because it's very hard. We're very grateful to the sponsorship. But if we didn't have sponsorship such as we do from the Bostic company, there it is again, and we'll stick with them, we wouldn't be able to pay out the sort of sponsorship monies we are. You know, we're looking at our budgets at the moment. We've got a 2-year deal, same as everybody else, and there's a year option. We hope they're going to take that up. But if we suddenly lose that money coming into the game, it's going to be really, really difficult. So we're trying to organise our budgets over the next 2 years to take into account those eventualities.
There are some great people that I bumped into this lunchtime, like Stuart Fuller from Lewis. There are clubs doing really well and promoting the league. But if you look at the next 12 months then, Stuart's just wandered in. He must have heard his name. Did you just hear me talking about? No, no. Hopefully not. I was just promoting you, Stuart. It's all right. Where for the next 12 months then do you look and think, right, that's the one particular banner we need to hoist up?
I think that what we have to do now is to deal with this new restructure. We've got to get people in sorted. It's going to be hard working out where each club is going to be in the restructure. And we've got to leave it for a year, let everybody settle down, let the dust settle. Then I think we can look at it. And before then, you know, it's going to be quite difficult to do anything else.
Nick Robinson, chairman of the Isthmian League, there talking to Caroline Barker. So big changes afoot, especially for the Southern League, who will take initial responsibility for the new Step 3 division coming in at the end of the season. I caught up with Terry Barrett, chairman of the Southern League, and asked him what the best bits of the year ended had been for his league.
Well, for me, winning the new Step 3 league was a massive achievement for us as a league. We were under a lot of competition from other leagues who obviously wanted it. We had to do a fairly extensive presentation to the FA. I thought they were superb. There's a committee of people who all listened to us very intently and asked probing questions. And they're obviously highly delighted that we were successful in achieving the new Step 3 league. So that was a highlight for me, one of the highlights for sure. I've known Nick Robinson for a long, long time because I was a director of the Isthmian League for many years. Nick and I've known Mark, and the three of us did work together very, very well, going to various presentations collectively, which is, again, very useful because we were representing in steps 3 and 4. So that was pleasing for me as well. It doesn't really affect us, although we will probably get embroiled in it, but the step 4 leads concern me a little bit with the ground grading. But I understand the FA have got it in mind, so hopefully we shouldn't have too many problems.
So you combined your role as chairman of the Southern League with chairman of the football club as well. So what about from a football club perspective? What's the biggest challenge facing clubs at your level?
The biggest problem is they're all getting like me, grey-haired, silver-haired, but we need an implant of youngsters. Now, we're hitting have got various things going on to try and attain these youngsters coming into the clubs. And it is difficult. I don't envy any clubs. You know, I've been to clubs where it revolves around 2 or 3 people only, and that does worry me. In fairness, Tim, I do have a very, very good board of directors at the Southern League who are all actively involved. They've got clubs of their own as well, but they're all actively involved. And at Hitchin, we only have 2 directors, Sandy and myself, but we do have a very, very good executive committee who effectively run the club on a day-to-day basis. The expression I use, and I'm not sure the expression is right, but minutiae. My job is to say, this is what I'd like to happen, and then point to somebody and say, can you make this happen for me? So people actually go and do the what I call the nitty-gritty. My job is to say, this is the ethos I'm trying to portray. Now, how do we achieve it? And let them come up back to me how we can do it. I made a very short list here because social media, when I took over, we were way behind the other 2 leagues in social media. Basically, we were not involved in it. The expression I use, we were light years behind. Well, now we've appointed a company to do our social media, and we are rapidly catching up. As an interesting aside, we've had over 2 million, I call them impressions, on Twitter in the last, 2 months. And all those impressions have the sponsor and the league on every impression. So that is a massive advance for us. So, yeah, that's a plus factor. Mitre has been a fantastic sponsor for the bench kit. Now, that people don't fully appreciate, it's bench kit, but it's worth £250,000. The clubs in our league. EvoStick, a very, very good sponsor. I've been able to achieve an increase in the sponsorship, so it's a benefit to the clubs. Pichero, again, we've had a few teething problems. It's no great secret. We've had a few teething problems with what I call the back office. But what I've said is that with goodwill on both sides, we will succeed. And as a personal thing, I'm personally particularly pleased that Chippenham and Leamington both gained promotion to the National League, which is good for our level of football. The clubs have taken the promotion. But also, we're fortunate to pick up Hartley Whitney, Bristol Manor Farm, Tame, Moneyfields, have joined us at step four. Oh, and Russ and the Diamonds, sorry, I mustn't forget them. Russ and Diamonds at step four. And obviously, we welcome Bishop Storfield and Gosport from the National League to our step three. So it's all good news for the league. So I'm pleased the way it's gone. I'm not heavily involved because Anthony Hughes is our director with the FA on this reorganisation. But I've seen three plans of how they visualise it. And, yeah, it will cut down travelling dramatically, which is the expression again I used to him is that I can't see the mileage in going from Biddeford to King's Lynn on a Tuesday night. Yeah, I understand they left at 11 o'clock in the morning, got back 5 o'clock the following morning. That's not good for players, for goodwill, anything. So hopefully with this reorganisation, it will cut down dramatically the journeys and hopefully have more local games, which are good for everybody. I'm looking forward to it very much so.
Terry Barrett, chairman of the Southern League there. And that, short and sweet as it was this week's Christmas special. No singing, no controversy. We're saving it all up for the new year. Thanks to all our guests and, of course, to you for listening and for all your support to the team in 2017. Don't forget, you can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio. And if you want to put our podcast on your website, check out www.nonleaguefootballshow.com, where you can grab an embeddable player for free. Happy New Year to you all, and see you in 2018. Thank you and goodbye.
Chibber Jabber Production. JIBBA.